Man, we gotta start using Apple Cash.
Okay, why?
It's so easy and convenient. Apple Cash lives in messages.
All right.
So I can pay you in the convos we're already having, not forget a payment, or have money sitting somewhere just collecting dust.
Oh, that is nice.
And then you can use that cash right away and buy stuff, like at a store, with Apple Pay.
I don't have to do all that bank transfer stuff?
Nope. It's just right there. Easy, convenient, and secure.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
See how easy that was? Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and happy Friday. I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
And I'm Holly Fry.
Talked about Joseph Grimaldi, sometimes called the first modern clown, this week.
We sure did.
This episode came about. I alluded, I think, in our previous episode. I recently had COVID, and it derailed. I had to take sick time, and each of us had other already previously planned time off, and then also some unexpected stuff happened. There's just a lot going on. So I was in one of those places where I was like, I've got to find something that is doable in the amount of time that I have to write an episode.
Yeah.
And often something that is doable is when somebody has an autobiography or a memoir or something similar that is in the public domain that can be a big part of the research, and like we can reference their own words directly and that kind of thing. Like that is one of the tools when we have to fill a gap in this way sometimes. And so I had been like, all right, I'm gonna do something like that. And then I used almost none of Grimaldi's memoirs because even though they are in the public domain, they do not read like a memoir at all. They read like a Dickens novel, as we talked about. And so there's just like only, I think, one or maybe two quotes from it in the entire episode. So it's while the episode did get written in the amount of time involved, it did not have as much reliance on that memoir as I had thought it was going to. Also, something that I did not put into the episode. Charles Dickens, as we said, had seen some of Grimaldi's performances when he was a kid, seemed to really like the pantomime, seems to have maybe not been as much of a fan of Grimaldi later on when he was actually working with this memoir and writing sketches from Boz and stuff like that. He also has a couple of creepy clown appearances in some of his other writing, including one that some people think is a specific reference to Grimaldi's son, J.S. It can't have been a reference to Grimaldi because this book was written like before Grimaldi's death, I think. So people think it was probably about J.S. And it's in the Pickwick Papers.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to read this little passage from the Pickwick Papers. About this time, and when he had been existing for upwards of a year, no one knew how, I had a short engagement at one of the theaters on the Surrey side of the water, and here I saw this man, whom I had lost sight of for some time, for I had been traveling in the provinces, and he had been skulking in the lanes and alleys of London. I was dressed to leave the house and was crossing the stage on my way out when he tapped me on the shoulder. Never shall I forget the repulsive sight that met my eye when I turned round. He was dressed for the pantomimes and all the absurdity of a clown's costume, the spectral figures in the dance of death, the most frightful shapes that the ablest painter ever portrayed on canvas, never presented an appearance half so ghastly. His bloated body and shrunken legs, their deformity enhanced a hundredfold by the fantastic dress, the glassy eyes contrasting fearfully with the thick white paint with which the face was besmeared, and the grotesquely ornamented head trembling with paralysis and the long, skinny hands rubbed with white chalk all gave him a hideous and unnatural appearance of which no description could convey an adequate idea, and which to this day I shudder to think of. His voice was hollow and tremulous as he took me aside and in broken words recounted a long catalog of sickness and privations, terminating as usual with an urgent request for the loan of a trifling sum of money. I put a few shillings in his hand, and as I turned away, I heard the roar of laughter which followed his first tumble on the stage. So that maybe could be Grimaldi, maybe could be JS. Most things that I saw were like, it's probably about JS because it seems, I think if I'm remembering correctly, it was written not long after JS died, a very young age.
I love that clowns have always been a delight to some and terrifying to others.
Yeah. I don't think that the Dickens edition of his memoirs was necessarily like the first time ever that there was this dichotomy of like the sad clown and the clown with the tragic backstory and like the person who's outwardly funny and inwardly depressed and grief stricken all the time. But he sure did like cement it with that book.
Well, and now right now they're recognized like four different types of clowns. Like the white face, the Augusta tramp, and the character, and
yeah.
This is kind of the modern genesis of that.
Yeah, I had thought about putting in more about sort of the history of clowning, and that development of like the white face Auguste tramp and character that you just mentioned. Like, and part of it was that it just felt like, like there are so many things in so many cultures around the world that can fit into the big umbrella of clowning.
Yes, for sure.
That part just seemed like it was getting too big. But then also, I found the specifics of the like progression of clowning sort of being at least here, maybe in Europe, to like include these four types. I found a lot of like the sourcing on that really vague. And I was like, I don't want to put this in here when I think it might be a little more nebulous than some of these sources make it sound like.
Have I ever told you the story of when my clown association terrified my husband?
No.
So as some folks know, Brian and I got married very quickly. So like, there were a lot of times where we were many years into our marriage and discovered something completely new about one another. And at one point we were at a party at our mutual friend Lily's house. And one of the things she had out was a dish of like those long, thin balloons you use to make balloon animals.
Okay.
And I blew one up and I made a poodle.
Okay.
And Brian said, "Where'd you learn to do that?" And I said, "The clowns taught me." And like, he said, "The clowns taught you?" Mm-hmm. And that was when I had to explain, like, if you grow up in certain parts of Florida.
Yeah.
And you are in, you know, theatery circles, you just know clowns because there's the big clown school there and they kind of spread out.
Sure.
And so, of course, I knew clowns growing up, but it never occurred to me that other people didn't know clowns growing up. And so I was like, the clowns taught me.
I think we've talked before about how when I was a kid, I was in a summer musical theater program.
Uh-huh.
And one year, the show that we did was Barnum, which is a musical about the life of P.T. Barnum that's not the same as the movie that's not that old.
Right.
And so all of, like, what would be the chorus, we were all clowns. And so we learned a number of like very basic clowning things and different types of clown makeup. And I learned to juggle badly. And There was something else. Oh, balloon animals. I can also make a balloon poodle.
It's not very hard.
It's not that difficult from once you know the basics of how to do it. So yeah, like that's my one very brief foray into clowning was being part of the chorus in summer middle and high school production of the play Barnum.
The clowns taught me.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about comfort hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
You had asked me before we started this, was he on your list? And the answer was no. And the reason was depressing.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of those things, right? I was talking to a friend of mine about this the other day. And again, I'm obviously not a psychologist or psychiatrist, but it is one of those things where we had just discussed, and it applies to this, that thing where it's like, you can do so many things in your life and have so many experiences, but at the end of the day, your childhood trauma drives the bus. You have to always be working on whatever those formative experiences are, that otherwise you just end up kind of falling into weird habits that kind of perpetuate the same problems. And I feel like Grimaldi is such an example of that, right? Like, he obviously had a very difficult childhood with a parent who did not treat him well. And it's like you then see him spending his entire life trying to make people happy and make people mm-hmm. like him, right? It's that thing of like, I only want to make you happy, and also you will like me and that will make me happy. And like, at the same time, he is having breakdowns in his dressing room, it right. sounds like. And it's like, oh, I just want to go back and get him a therapist and hug him.
Yeah.
Make him some nice tea and let him just sit quietly if that's what yeah. he wants.
A therapist and maybe also like a trainer or a competent doctor.
Right.
Like somebody to talk about some body mechanics and maybe if there were some physical, muscular or skeletal issue going on to like maybe address that, because it does seem like he was just constantly pushing himself in a way that was harmful to his body.
I will also say, on a funnier note, I'm glad that for the most part we have gotten away from titles of things that are the blobbity bloop or the bloopy blorp.
Like, there's a lot of those, like, in this
so many too many words. And clown church service has now gone on my bucket list, I think.
Yeah.
I don't, as a behind the scenes secret, I was supposed to read that line. And for some reason, the very idea got me so choked up that Tracy had to read it.
Yeah. The clown church service.
I don't know why that hit my heart so aggressively.
There's a biography of Grimaldi called The Pantomime Life of Joseph Grimaldi, Laughter, Madness, and the Story of Britain's Greatest Comedian by Andrew McConnell Stott, which was one of like a bunch of different sources that were part of this episode. It's much longer than this episode, obviously. It has just a ton of detail that we did not talk about at all. If I'm remembering rightly, it starts with his effort to get to that church service. And there was a flight delay, and it was like, is it going to happen or not? So, yeah. I recommend that book if you want tons more detail than what we talked about. So, yeah. I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel,
for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about comfort hotels. Imagine you're a family road trip or waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. We talked about apples this week, Tracy.
We sure did. I love apples.
I do too. I don't bake with them as often as one might think, but I sure do like to eat them. Mm-hmm. I just love a little chopped apple in just about anything. One of the things I wanted to call out and mention, we mentioned at the end of that episode that there has been, you know, at various times there have been efforts for people to try to get the Ontario government or even the bigger Canadian government to like do something to really recognize the Macintosh and its importance, because, you know, it obviously not only is a delicious thing that many people like, but it has been a big part of the economy of Ontario and and really around the world for a lot of growers at this point. That hasn't happened. But Sandra Bexted, who we mentioned in the course of the thing, she is the woman who owns the orchard where the last of the first generation trees recently died. She has her own little mission where she, you know, they have a store at their orchard, like many orchards do, and she includes a lot of historical information. She invites school groups to come and she talks about it. They talk about the Macintosh and its heritage, but also like other apples that came from it and how that all relates to local history. I just think that's cool. I want to give her a shout out for being like a grassroots educator. There was also an interesting thing that came about when the sale of the Macintosh farm issue came up recently. You know, that's only been a few years ago. It got picked up by a lot of news outlets, like the BBC and CBC both ran multiple stories about it. But one particular detail kept getting confused and relayed in completely opposite ways. One was that the owner, Mr. Scoff, had put up a lot of no trespassing signs, because a lot of people would kind of try to sneak onto the property for pictures or just to see stuff or whatever. And he was getting frustrated, understandably. But the other is that there were some that were like, he would love to give tours if you just asked him. And it's like,
okay.
One of these is potentially correct, but both can't really work because he seems to not want anybody to bug him. So I don't know what the scoop is there. If you, if you, dear listeners, are looking up anything about it and you're like, wait, we don't know either. It's very unclear. I will, once again, as I often do in our behind the scenes, will confess my own ignorance in a thing that I didn't know for a really long time.
Okay.
That it's often better to use, you know, apples that are not sweet in your baking.
Yeah.
I was well into my adulthood by the time I learned that, because I kept being like, why is this mushy? And it's because the sugars make them break down and get mushier. It's kind of like how we said the Macintosh breaks down more quickly, so you don't have to bake it as long.
Right.
But that's also why it is it's related to the fact that it is sweet when you eat it raw versus the Bramley, which is tart and retains its shape better.
Yeah.
I didn't know these things.
No. I was honestly surprised at what sounds to me like kind of Herculean efforts to keep the original Bramley tree alive in the face of it having a fungus that can spread. And this is partly, like, I have no idea what steps they may be taking to try to keep this fungus from spreading to other trees or plant life nearby. And I don't think I've told this story on the show before, When we bought the house that we live in, there were several rose bushes planted.
Oh, yeah. You had witch's broom.
Yeah. Yeah. I went out one day to deadhead the roses and I was like, why this? Wow. This plant looks weird. And I was like, obviously this is diseased. So I'm going to do what I know is like what a step to take and like cut away all the diseased part. And then later I was like, I think I need to look up what just happened. And what it was this thing called rose rosette disease, which is spread by mites. And really, like, there are people who will try to save a rose bush that's in, like, really early stages of it. But, like, by the time it has spread to the root area, you can't, it's not something you can really treat. And you really need to, like, dig up the whole plant down to the root and destroy it to keep it from, and it was a huge bummer. Like, the rose bushes were there when we bought the house. It wasn't like I planted them, but one of them was this little rose bush that really reminded me of one at my parents' house that my mom had planted. So every time I saw this rose bush blooming, it like reminded me of my mom. And I had to dig the whole thing up down to the roots. And then I realized that it had also infected the one next to it. And I went ahead and dug that one up also. And so having had that whole experience, the idea of like, keeping a tree with what sounds like a fungus that can spread and harm other trees. I was like, really? Okay.
I mean, I don't know what stuff they have in place. I do know, I'm pretty sure they have like a ground barrier so the roots can't infect other things. I will say I also have had, I call it witch's broom because that's the
that's one of the
colloquial name
call it
for
that,
it.
Yeah.
I have had it and I had a very different reaction to you. Which is, oh, that looks amazing. It looks
it
like a demon.
It looks really cool. It makes your rose bush look very Halloween-y.
It does. And my reaction was, could I just let it happen?
Oh, yeah.
But I also had to dig up an old and very established rose bush in my yard, which is just a pain in the tuchus, man.
It is a big pain. I was more concerned about, like, the neighbor's plants than my own plants. Like, I was just like, I don't want to keep a plant in my yard that could hurt my neighbor's plants.
Yeah, ours were, I mean, I have roses and I love them. We've talked about them on the show before. So I also was like, ooh, I just planted a really nice rose bush. I really don't want that to get this because even though it looks cool, I don't want it to die. You know, I want my Twilight Zone roses to live and flourish forever.
The other super annoying thing about my whole experience is that whoever had planted these two rose bushes in our front yard had planted them what is, in my opinion, perilously close to the gas line. We called the dial before you dig number to have the gas line marked before I got the shovel out to like dig up these rose bushes. And I was like, it's literally right there.
Yeah. We inherited a lot of rose bushes with our house and I love them, but like there have been some errors in judgment along the way. And I don't know if it's just like an inexperienced gardener. I can't say I would have done any better at various points in time. But whoever owned our house before us planted these beautiful, very prolifically blooming red rose bushes, which I love, but they are right in front of the house on either side of the stairs, and they're climbers. So literally in the summer, there have been times where they've had a very healthy year and I have to clip them every single day. Because they are coming for you. Like, you can't get up and down the stairs without them snagging your clothes.
Right.
I love them.
Yeah.
I do want to get rid of, I call it a filthy name we couldn't say on the show because I don't like it. We have a waxleaf privet also that's right by the house that I don't like. And I keep saying I want to hire a grown-up to come and take it out and put in rose bushes that are meant to be full like privet style bushes.
Sure.
I don't know if we'll get to that at any point in the near future or not. I don't like that privet though at all. Mm. And also we have my least favorite plant on the planet, Virginia creeper.
Oh, you're right, because you're allergic to it, right?
I'm one of those random people who got the luck of the draw to be very allergic to it. And I have had to go to the emergency room because of a reaction to it. Like, it's not cool. Anyway, plants. Yeah, I will say this too. In pictures of the Bramley tree, you had asked during the show if the clone that they put next to it, and I'm air quoting next to it, how close it is. It's not, because if you see pictures of the tree, it's not, you don't see the other tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, I don't see a lot of other plant life around it. Like, there's like some grassy ground cover, I think, but it's not like, there aren't any super close by things. And I think they are monitoring it so closely that it has kept most of the above ground fungus managed and at bay. Like, when you look at pictures, you can see some of the tree is dead, but like, you don't see the white, that white sticky film that I associate with something like that. Mm-hmm. So I think they're probably being pretty arduous about keeping it as controlled as possible. And we'll see how long the Bramley tree lasts. But as of right now, you could go visit it. They let people visit.
Nice.
That might go on my bucket list for my next trip to England. I know that this weekend, for what I have of it, which is not much because I'm doing some traveling and prep, I need to take care of my yard and do some mowing. So this is all a very timely discussion. If you have a weekend ahead of you, I hope whatever you do, it's delightful. I personally like mowing, so that doesn't sound bad to me at all. Whatever you have, whether you have time off or not, I hope that you are able to take some time to take care of yourself. Not only take care of other people, although that is also a good and noble thing to do, but you also need to be recharged. And we will be right back here tomorrow with a classic and then on Monday with a brand new episode.
Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is the story of how a group of people brought music back to Afghanistan by creating their own version of American Idol. The joy they brought to the nation.
You're free completely. No one is there to destroy you.
The danger they endured.
They said my head should be cut off.
I'm John Legend. Listen to Afghan Star on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jordan Gonsalves, and I'm a journalist. Join me on my new podcast, But We Loved, where queer elders recount the amazing history they've lived through.
In the middle of Wall Street, they stopped traffic. They were doing a die-in.
Healthcare is a right! Healthcare is a right!
And in the process, share little gems of wisdom for the next generation.
The key is to understanding yourself, learning to love and embrace yourself.
You can listen to But We Loved on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.